For our next guest today, Cheryl Snyder had the opportunity to have a conversation with Rabbi Jeff Dreyfuss on Friday. We have their conversation for you now.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for joining me in the studio today. I invited you in because you're in town celebrating Hanukkah with the local Jewish community, and I thought it'd be interesting to hear about the holiday from your perspective, and also because you yourself have an interesting story. You come to Juneau once a month to work with Congregation Sukkot Shalom here in Juneau. Tell us what it's like being a traveling rabbi.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me. Coming to Juneau, to be completely honest, is my favorite part of rabbinical school. I, last year, was studying in L.A. At my school's Los Angeles campus, and this year transferred to our New York campus. And I come up to Juneau once a month to serve the Jewish community here. And I love it for a number of reasons. First, when I'm at school, I'm studying our texts and studying our tradition and history and philosophy and theology. And it's very cerebral. And I love that. And Judaism has a wonderful textual tradition. But to me, the essence of what Judaism is about is being with people and creating community. So when I get to come here once a month and join this wonderful community and lead them in prayer, but also learn from them and see the wonderful community that has developed here over the years, it's really an honor for me.
Now, how would you describe the Jewish community here? I know that there's about 35 families who are directly members of the synagogue, but it's kind of a mix of people.
Yeah, it's a really interesting community and a lovely community. What's interesting is I don't think there's too many communities in the country that have so many people from all over the country. There's a few families that have been here for a couple generations, but for the most part, families who live here and people who live here came here because they love nature and they want to be in nature or various reasons that brought them here. And so what's great about our community is people bring traditions that they grew up with on the East Coast, on the West Coast, in the middle of the country. Actually, we now have a congregant from Mexico as well, so all over North America. And they enrich the community here with the traditions that they bring with them. But for me, as an outdoor lover and outdoor enthusiast, being able to come to one of the most beautiful places in the world once a month and experience the outdoors with people who love it as well is just a perk of being the rabbi here.
So you mentioned earlier that you're in rabbinical school and coming up here as part of your training. How does one become a rabbi? What is that process?
Good question. So there are a number of different schools, some on I'm in the Reform Movement's rabbinical school. There's a number of movements within Judaism, Reform being the largest in North America, also conservative and Orthodox, and then a few smaller movements. But each movement does it a little differently. Most of the movement schools are 5 years. So at my school, which is called Hebrew Union College, we do our first year of study in Jerusalem, which is really good for the Hebrew learning because there's no way to learn Hebrew better than to walk out in the street and have it surround you. But so we do our first year there, and then we have 4 more years back stateside, and we have 3 campuses, New York, L.A., and Cincinnati.
Okay. And at what point in the process do you start being called rabbi?
Well, good question. So technically, we aren't rabbis until we get ordained at the end of our 5th year. That being said, when we serve communities such as me serving Juneau, the people here call me rabbi because to them I serve in a rabbinic role. So technically I'm not a rabbi until I get ordained a few years from now, but I think that it's really nice for people in the communities that we serve to feel like they have a rabbi. Mm-hmm. So I love it. Not that I'm trying to be, not that I'm trying to take something that I haven't earned yet, but I think that it's really nice to be able to help this community feel like they have a rabbinic presence.
Yeah, and I really saw that you stepped up with the shootings in Pittsburgh. There were a lot of people looking for some guidance, and I know that you shared some things with our Jewish community. You were back in New York, but you sent us some things.
Yeah.
That was really helpful.
Yeah, well, it's a really, of course, was a really tragic and horrible event. And the Juno Jewish community actually has a couple of people who grew up in Squirrel Hill in that neighborhood in Pittsburgh. And so even though we're so far away here in Alaska, the tragedy and the massacre really hit close to home. Mm-hmm. And so part of being a rabbi, I think the biggest part of being a rabbi is being there for your congregants when they need you. But what was so touching and so inspiring to me, me being so far away in New York, seeing the community come together and hold a vigil for those who lost their lives in Pittsburgh, having one of our congregants who's from Pittsburgh speak about her experiences and memories from back home. And then the other congregant who is from Pittsburgh was actually went back to Pittsburgh immediately to show her support there. So I was just so inspired by the Jewish community here in Juneau coming and showing their support for our congregants from Pittsburgh, but also for the Jewish community there. And to be honest, what was just as inspiring, if not more so, was so many non-Jews and police officers and FBI agents who came to the synagogue to show their support and to show they stand with the Jewish community here.
Yeah, I went to that vigil and I got there maybe 4 minutes late. I've never seen the synagogue so packed. I couldn't even get into the main hall initially. The people were standing all the way out, filling the entire hall outside of the sanctuary. And I ended up having to literally kind of crawl in and then sit on the floor because I didn't want to miss what was being said inside. So yeah, that was really incredible. So your journey to become a rabbi, I'll dare to say it was not particularly linear. You had a different career before you chose this path. Can you talk about that?
Sure. So I had always kind of known in the back of my head since I was a little kid that I wanted to be a rabbi. But I majored in economics and environmental studies in college, and I worked in investment banking and mergers and acquisitions for a few years after college. And I also worked for a clean technology startup, an energy efficiency company. And I thought ultimately what I wanted to do was do venture capital or private equity for investing in energy efficiency and renewable energy companies. But then one day I was sitting in synagogue on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year in Judaism, and I was Yom Kippur is a day all about reflection. And I was reflecting on the year gone by and how I wanted to improve as a person the year ahead. And I just had this realization that, Jeff, you know you've always wanted to be a rabbi ever since you were a little kid, and you don't want to wake up 30 years from now and not have done what you always dreamed of doing. So it was really that moment in synagogue where I said, Jeff, this is something you have to do. And a little more than a year later, I was in rabbinical school.
So there aren't many young children who dream of being a rabbi. Where did that come from in you?
That's a great question. I was very lucky. I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee, and Memphis, I suppose, isn't known as a hotbed of Judaism, but I was very lucky to have really wonderful rabbis growing up, and they inspired me to want to bring Judaism into my life, and bring Judaism into my life enriched my life so much and also made me want to be a better person. And so when I saw the power that those rabbis were able to have on me and inspiring me to bring Judaism into my life, I said, you know what? I would really love to be able to do that for other people. And that was really the impetus for me.
We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about Hanukkah.
Do do.
You are listening to Juno Afternoon. This is Cheryl Snyder, and I am talking with Rabbi Jeff Dreyfuss. And we are now going to talk about Hanukkah. Jeff, what can you tell us about the holiday?
Well, Hanukkah is a really, really fun holiday. Hanukkah is called the Festival of Lights. And many non-Jews likely associate Hanukkah with the Hanukkah menorah, the candelabra that we put in one candle, one additional candle every night until the eighth and final night when there are eight candles in menorah and it shines brightly. And it's traditional to put the menorah in our windowsill, not to keep it inside of our homes, but actually to put it in our window so that all of the people in our community can see the joy and the light from our candles. And the holiday has so many really fun aspects to it. There is recently, since Jews have been in North America and Christmas is obviously a wonderful holiday, the Jews have started bringing a present element to Hanukkah. Traditionally, that's actually like, for example, in Israel, where not so much of the population celebrates Christmas, there's actually not this association with giving gifts to Hanukkah. But given the fact that the Jews in North America, so many of our friends celebrate Christmas and give gifts, it's become part of the Hanukkah tradition in America to give gifts as well. And there's also really fun games. We have a game called Dreidel. It's like a little spinning top with four sides. And if you win in the game of Dreidel, traditionally you get Hanukkah gelt, which is little pieces, little coins, chocolate in the shape and wrappers made to look like coins. But the holiday of Hanukkah is actually based on two stories from about 2,000 years ago. The first of which is about a group of people called the Maccabees. They were a group of Jews living in Israel a little over 2,000 years ago. And the rulers at the time were a group of Hellenized Syrians, and they started persecuting the Jews who lived there. And so the Maccabees stood up to those Syrians and actually won a war with them, even though the Syrian army far outnumbered the Maccabees. And so for Jews, this holiday of Hanukkah is a story of resilience, and it's a story of fighting and being outnumbered and being an underdog and pulling through. And so we celebrate that. That's one miracle that we celebrate on Hanukkah. And then we also celebrate, there's an idea that when the Maccabees came back and had retaken the temple from the Syrian kind of oppressors, they found only one jar of oil. And there's traditionally oil that always burned through all day and night in the temple, and they only had one jar, which should have only been enough oil for one day. But the jar of oil, according to our tradition, actually lasted for 8 days, and that was a miracle as well. So that is the reason why on Hanukkah we light eight candles to commemorate the 8 days that the oil lasted. And the reason why we put our menorahs in our windowsills is to show the world the light of that miracle, and that the Jewish people for the last 3,500 years have always been resilient.
Any suggestions if people want to learn a little bit more about Hanukkah on their own, what might be some good resources?
Certainly. So you can certainly just Google Hanukkah. But my favorite Hanukkah song is done by this a cappella group called the Maccabees. So I recommend you Googling them as well. They have some fun music.
Okay, we'll actually pull that up and play that for our audience. Jeff, thank you so much for coming in. Happy, safe travels back to New York City, and we'll see you next month.
All right. Thanks so much for having me.